Behold, God is great, and we do not know Him. Father, we would pray that today we would come to know You in a greater degree than we have known You so far. It was a great funeral at a time when France was a great nation, and perhaps the greatest nation on the face of the earth at that time. It was 1715, and the funeral of the great king, Louis XIV, who many had labeled Louis the Great. All the great names were gathered. Anybody who was anybody, heads of state and of the church, French and foreign, the body of Louis the Great was dressed in great attire, perhaps none greater. The flowers were of great quality, perhaps none greater. The organ, the strings, the symphony, none had ever been greater. No other funeral was ever conducted in the Cathedral of Notre Dame that was greater before or ever since. And when the preacher mounted the pulpit, he preached a great sermon, one which was so great that all the people who heard it could remember it word for word the rest of their life. The sermon, only four words. Only God is great. And the preacher sat down. That was it for the sermon. Only God is great. Great sermon, huh? Great. Not necessarily because it was so short. People then were not so concerned about running out as soon as the service is over. Maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour at the most. Not 1 minute over. But the sermon was great because it put the right perspective on who was and is really great. It contrasted the greatness of a person and a life that was considered great to God, who only is great. Only God is great. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl. Only God is great. In our text, Elihu tells us, behold, God is great. And I would say the majority of people today, what it says in the text, only God is great and we do not know Him. We do not know Him. May we come to have a greater knowledge of Him today. Only God is great. I hope that you remember those four words at the end of the day. Only God is great. You are not great, no matter how great that you think that you are. No president, no king, no ambassador, no boy, no girl, no man, no woman, no sports star, actor, actress, preacher, church, denomination. Only God is great. And how would you live your life in light of that fact? If you woke up every morning with it in your mind, only God is great. I guarantee you a lot of that stuff will be leaving your life. Only God is great. When we marvel at the mystery of a God who is one God, what I want to do is touch on some aspects of God's greatness today. Elihu and the rest of Job is going to get into God's greatness in creation and some other attributes that, some other parts of His greatness where it's manifested, His greatness. So I don't want to go to creation yet. So let us look at God's greatness. We marvel at the mystery of a God who is one God. Yet three persons. Little children ask you, how is that possible? Old timers will ask you, how's that possible? One God, yet three persons. A mystery we can't understand. And personally, I don't want a God that I can't understand. You're in danger if you think you got God all figured out. One God, three persons. We can't understand the mystery. Yet, God condescends and explains Himself in so many different ways. He has mysteries and He has plain revelations of Himself. A dead king that I spoke of, in contrast, cannot compare to the greatness of this unfathomable. God is unfathomable. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present everywhere. You don't get to the end of God in this life. So many people think they have God all figured out. If you do this, then therefore God does that. Only God is great. You and I and our lives cannot compare to the greatness of the Holy Triune God. So I want to look at His greatness from three points. His greatness as the Father, His greatness as the Son, and His greatness as the Holy Spirit. The great Triune God. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, the psalmist wrote. Is this true of you? A sure enough way that you will praise Him is to get to understand Him day by day more and more. On your deathbed, it should not be, I wish I had done more. It should be, I wish I had known God more. So many people go to and fro and never sit down to learn of the great God who you would call your Father. Only God is great. I want to look at His greatness in what Luther called arguably the greatest chapter in the Bible. We'll take off from Romans 5 verses 1 through 5 and look at the greatness. For only God is great. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Only God is great. How can the human mind wrap its mind around that? Why would God justify sinful men and women? God is great because He bestows His greatness on us who would be nothing without Him. Do you realize that it says, when it says being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? We have peace with the great God. Only God is great. Peace with God implies conflict, war, enemy. That's why it's so bad to betray God, like He loves the whole wide world. The whole wide world is in rebellion against Him. In Romans 5, it says that when you were His enemies, the greatness of God would justify you by faith, making peace with you. Imagine some king. Could you imagine King Louis the 14th would take his enemies and do for his enemies what God has done for His enemies? Only God is great. Justifying His enemies, those that are at war, those that are in conflict with Him, combatants, worse than terrorists. If you are here today and you are apart from God Almighty, you are His enemy. You are a combatant against Him. You are at war with Him. He's not wooing you and pounding on your little bitty heart. The Scripture says, an enemy. When we were enemies, the greatness of God, that the one who you were an enemy to, He would condescend and make peace with you. Realize this. When you come to Christ, you're nothing but an enemy of His. An enemy. An enemy of God. A hater of God and dead in sins and trespasses. Paul writes in Romans 8 that the sinful mind, the carnal mind, is at enmity with God. That's why there's no one turning to God unless God first turns them. The carnal mind is at enmity. You right now, you're sitting here hearing about God and you hate Him. Hating God. Haters of God. And the great God condescends down and makes you His child. That's why it says only God is great. Only a loving God can take His enemy. And not just say, okay, I'm going to pardon you. I'll forgive you for your trespasses. I'm going to make you my son. I'm going to make you a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's why only God is great. And Elihu says, and we don't know Him. That's what he's saying to Job. We don't know Him. You want an audience with God to plead your case. This is a great God. And you want to come forth with your righteousness, Job, with Him? Realize this. Before you become a child of God, you don't want what God wants. You don't want to do what He wants you to do. You want me to prove right now you're a hater of God, that you're His enemy? God Almighty says to you right now, repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will not do that right now, you are His enemy. He hates you. The Scripture says He is angry with the wicked all the time. But I'm not an enemy of God. I'm not mad at Him. He says, no, you're His enemy. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. Therefore, having not been justified by faith, you don't have peace with God. You're at war with this God. You're at enmity with this God. Paul writes elsewhere that we are the objects of His wrath. And this God, this great God, for only God is great, makes peace with those. That God in the book of Genesis says, I wish I never even created man. I wish I never even created man. That's why it says, only God is great. That's why the preacher gave four-word sermon and said, okay, chew on that. Only God is great. Hopefully you remember that all your life. Only God is great, that you were His enemy and He made peace with you and gave you the ability to come to Him, that you would even accept that peace. God, the Father, justifies us, which implies the love of God. The love of God. He declares us not guilty, and the warfare between us and Him are over through His Son. The great Son, the dear Son, the Son whose kingdom you have been transferred into. Only God is great, that you were in the kingdom of darkness. You and your carnal mind that was at enmity with God, and your sin that you loved. And yet God granted you a new heart and gave you the faith. And He transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Only God is great. Only God is great. 1 John 3:1 looks with awe at the fact that our great God loved us and has made us who were nothing His dear children. As I said one time in a sermon, you're not something until you realize you're nothing. Then you're something. You have to come to your realization that you're nothing in and of yourself. Nothing. You're not bringing nothing to the table except your sin. 1 John 3:1. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. That's what I'm saying. The great God. What kind of God is this? Only God is great. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon, notice, us. Not humanity, upon us. That we should be called children of God. His children. Romans 5, enemy. 1 John, children. Relationship changed. Only the great God does that. The great God. Children of God. Without our great God and Father, we would be nothing. With Him, we're His children. You're a child of God. You have the righteousness of God imputed to your account. You shall be like Christ. This corruptible shall put on incorruptible. When we see Him, we shall be like Him. A hater of God, an enemy of God, a combatant against God, a terrorist against God. And now adopted as His children. Because of the work of the Son. Because notice, and from enemies of God, haters of God, to children of God. And notice why. Through Jesus Christ. Only God is great. God elects unto salvation, and then His Son comes to redeem those that have been elected unto salvation. Notice, you become a child of God through Jesus Christ. Through Christ. That word through is a beautiful word because it means by the means of, because of. That's why we love Jesus Christ. He takes a hater of God and turns him into a lover of God through Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. Not because of your effort, because of your resolutions, because of what you promised that you're going to do for Him. But through Jesus Christ, the great God takes enemies and make them His children. Why? Why did God do that? Why? Because of Jesus. How? Because of Jesus. Why me? Because of Jesus. Everything is because of Jesus Christ. All things have been created by Him and for Him. The great God. Only God is great. God the Father only is great. God the Son only is great. Do you remember what John 15:5 says? Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Notice, but apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Apart from Christ, you can do no thing. The only thing you can do is what a sinner does. Sin. Everything in your life is sin. Whatever's not of faith is sin. You don't have faith in God, it's sin. And your whole life is just sin. Everything you do, even the supposing good you think you do, is sinful. Sin. Because apart from Christ, He's going to get all the glory. I can do nothing in and of myself, but through Christ, I can do all things who strengthens me. Through Christ, because of Christ, only God is great. Without Him, we're nothing. But with God, with Christ, we have everything. We're alive in Him. We bear the fruits from the same plant that He is. Notice He said, I'm the vine. He didn't say you all are a bunch of little vines. He's the vine. He's the one from whom we grow and bear fruit. God, through the Holy Spirit now, we will see Him, the great God. The Father elects us unto salvation, haters of God, made children of God. How? Why? Because of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. He has been it says, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Only God is great. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God, notice what it says. It does not disappoint. The love of God has what? Been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out. I ask you this question. How could you not be a lover? How is it that you do not love people? You say that you're a Christian. How is it that you do not love people? How can you walk around with hate inside of you? You see what that says in Romans 5? The love of God has been what? Poured out. God ain't no cheesy to give you a little tiny crumb at a time. He has poured out. Why is God great? You were His enemy, His combatant. He makes you a child, and the love of God has been poured out. How are you so cold? How are you so lukewarm? How is that possible? Do you need me to say to you, you better check yourself to see if you're a Christian? You have to question yourself. That's what 1 John is all about. For you to see, are you really a child of God? Or are you fooling yourself? The love of God has been poured out in your hearts. You should be a lover. How come you think Christ would say, you got to love your enemies, though? He didn't ever say it was going to be easy, but He said, that's what you should do. The love of God being poured out. How are you so sad, such a pickle puss, so miserable, so mean? The love of God poured out of your heart. People glamorize Valentine's Day. There's some Valentine's Day for you. Look at verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Only God is great. That's why the preacher preached 4 words and said, I don't have anything else I need to say here. Only God is great. Takes an enemy, makes him his child, forgives him of his sin, gives him eternal life, pours out his love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Only God is great. You who were his enemy, you who were at war with him, makes you his child. You want to see some of his greatness? Look at Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 7. If that don't get you to say only God is great, you must be dead. That's worth the laugh on that one, buddy. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 7. Only God is great. Only God could have these words written by a man that hated him, that he made his, a child of his, that made an apostle of him. A guy that thought he was something, that found out, I'm nothing. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 7. Only God is great. Keep that in your mind as these verses pop up. Only God is great. He made you alive. Only God is great. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, that's your condition apart from him. Dead in trespasses and sin. Why I got to be born again? You need to be made alive and no longer that be your condition. Dead in trespasses and sin. Now you are alive in righteousness, in which, notice, you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power in the air, the spirit who now works, notice, in the sons of disobedience. There's no like little middle group there. Little fence walkers in the middle there. You are either a child, a son of obedience, one has been made alive who was dead, or you're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. And who do you think that is? CBS, NBC, TNT? That's Hasatan. That's the devil. That's your daddy. The prince of the power of the air, who now works in the sons of disobedience. Imagine, you got to stand in front of the thrice holy God and him look at you and go, you are a son of disobedience. You are a woman of disobedience. The thrice holy God who created you. You son of disobedience. You girl of disobedience. You daughter of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. See, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. Notice, once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that carnal mind that's at enmity against God. And what? Notice, by nature, children of wrath, just as the others. You're not born into this world a neutral little critter. You were born into this world what? As a child of wrath. That's what you have inherited from Adam and Eve. A child of wrath. By nature. That's what you're born as. A roach is a roach, a rat is a rat, and a bird is a bird because that's their nature. You're a sinner because you were born as a child of wrath, just as the others. But God, only God is great, but God who, notice, once again, he doesn't just thimble it out. He's rich in mercy. You a fool to not want God who is rich in mercy. Lord, I need your mercy today. I need your mercy, Lord, in a second from now. Thank you for the mercies you just shown me for the past 58 plus years of my life, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that the scripture says your mercies are new every day, Father. I need your mercies tomorrow, Father. It ain't gonna, well, I preached a sermon. I witnessed yesterday. I prayed yesterday. Father, I need your mercy. And you're rich in mercy. And you're my Father. Notice, who's rich in mercy, why? Because of his great love with which he loved us. Only God is great. His great love. He got the great love. His great love towards us. Even when we were dead in trespasses. That's how I started off in Romans. Dead in trespasses. Makes us alive together. Notice once again. With Christ. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together. And made us sin. He had to take you. Because you were such a rebel. And make you sin. And it's like every day of your life after you become a Christian, he's still got to make you sit. Hey, jerky, sit back down and listen to me. Sit back down. Sit back down. Learn of me. Listen to me. Walk with me. Raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why are you so concerned about this world? If you're a child of God, it says that you have been made to sit with Christ and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not down the road sometime. That's a continuous action there in the past. And raised us up together, has raised us up together, and made us sit. Right now, you all are sitting. Right now, in some in mystical way, we're sitting in the heavenly places with Christ right now. And you're all wrapped up about this world and what the cruel, mean world is doing to me. You're seeing it in the heavenly places. The love of God being poured out of your heart, man. What are you thinking? You certainly ain't thinking that. If you're thinking the things that you're hearing today, you would act in a different way. That's why it's so important to know your Father, to know the Son, to know the Holy Spirit. Why it's so important to understand the attributes of God, who He is. I married 28 years yesterday to my wife, and we're still getting to know each other after 28 years. How much more you trying to get to know the great God of the Scriptures? How important is it? That's why the preacher said, four words for you up today. Only God is great. Are you all gathering for this Louis XIV? Anybody here recall any of the great things he did? I don't think so. He wasn't too great. Only God is great that he does that. And look at verse 7 of Ephesians 2. Raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice, so that, for this purpose, because you're just such a fine individual? No. What's he say in verse 7? So that in the ages, notice, ages to come, man. That's a long time. You think your little 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years here is a lot? So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches, not just the riches of his grace. Paul's like, I got to come up with a word here. The exceeding riches of his grace in kindness, notice, towards us in Christ. Everything, that every reason the Father loves you is for one reason. Because of Christ. Through Christ. In Christ. All of that I just read you, in Christ. And out of the ages to come, it'll be about Christ. This world ain't about you. It's about Christ. You're just an actor on the stage of history for a moment in time. And you will see what Solomon said. You're going to see it's all vanity. It's just poof. You and your wonderful little life is just poof. That you take so serious. And you think that you're so wonderful. Just poof. What is a man? What is a woman? Just a vapor, just a puff in time. Only God is great. When you get up tomorrow and you look in that mirror, tell yourself, only God is great. You're not the great one that you look at that's looking back at you. The one that created you, only God is great. I hope to God every time you look in the mirror, God is great. Only God is great. Only God is great. The Holy Spirit pours out the Scriptures to us, comforts us, convicts us. When we can't make sense of what's happened to us, He calls us to His side, and He whispers with confidence, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's what I'm saying. Child of God, what are you all stressed out about? What are you taking so serious? Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. Notice that. In us. The glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul is saying, what are you worried about these present sufferings? Whatever it is, from your health to your job to your family to your neighbor to your sin, whatever. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit would say to you, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that would be revealed in us. Once again, that you rebel that has become His child, that He would reveal His glory in you. His glory. The glory that put that sun in the sky that you can't even look at for 5 seconds without going blind. And He's going to reveal His glory in you. The same glory that raised Christ from the dead. He's going to reveal that in you. The Holy Spirit tells you in Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good. What is it that's troubling you? If you're a child of God, all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things work together to make you happy, to make you clappy, sappy, or dappy. Even though I don't even think those are words. I've said happy and clappy many times, but never sappy and dappy. They kind of cover the ducks. So anyway, back to seriousness. All things work together for good. And notice what it says. In Romans, go back to Romans 5. Now hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The one who gives us hope tells us we will not be disappointed. That thing, whatever the thing is, you fill in the blank. We all got our things. In our nation's early history, there was an itinerant preacher. He rode his horse from town to town, stopping and preaching. He came to one town, some people gathered, and he asked them, "What do you want me to preach to you?" And one skeptic shouted, "Nothing!" To that, the preacher began talking about how God created all things out of nothing. How we came into this world and leave this world with nothing. How we can do nothing to earn heaven. And how God made us everything. We who were nothing. You can't be something till you realize your nothingness. God incarnate, being in the form of God, emptied himself and became like one of us. He came like one of us. The one who knew no sin become like one of us to suffer, to die, to be buried. The God of glory becomes a man. Empties himself. Puts his divinity, so to speak, on the side. In some aspects. Becoming as nothing. Only God is great. King Louis the 14th, he ruled France for 67 years. Can you tell me one thing that he did? I could tell you a couple things because I went to Wikipedia. He is still dead. Wikipedia did say that. King Louis the 14th is still dead. And like the psalmist says, the wind blows over our place, and we aren't remembered. You who would think you're so wonderful. All the superstars out there want to be superstars. You are as nothing. As nothing. Our lives would mean nothing without our great God. With God, now your life means something. Without God, your life means absolutely nothing. It's just a vapor. Paul even goes beyond mere meaningless and tells us what great things we have to rejoice of in the greatness of the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Spirit. I got to tell you, as a pagan, life was exciting at times, but there is no comparison to being a Christ one. Day in and day out, for year after year after year after year. There's a purpose to your life. There's a meaningfulness. The best this world has to offer, I heard a veteran testify the other night to the greatest this world has to offer. He said the excitement when a missile shoots right past your head. And he said, the excitement that that produces, I could never again find it in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That was the greatest thrill he found on this earth, was for a missile to fly past the side of his head. What I'm trying to tell you is, sin is fun for a season. It's all nothingness. When you become a Christian, it means something. When you can look into the face of somebody that's dying and give them a hope. You look into the face of that person 85 years old that's without Christ, or that AIDS patient that got about 3 hours to live, and you bring them the gospel, and they repent of their sins with 3 hours left in their life, and they go to heaven rather than in hell. What's this world going to offer you to compare with those kind of things that God does in the lives of His children. As a pagan, your life is meaningless. Now, as a child of God, there's purpose in your life. There's meaning in your life. There's a reason to get up every day. To have no meaning in your life for 30, 40, 50 years, to get up and go do the same thing, to wait to Friday or Saturday to buy something to pep you up a little bit or bring you down a little bit or to bring you a moment of joy. Paul saying by the Holy Spirit that even in your sufferings, the Lord says rejoice. And all the bad things, quote unquote, that you're thinking that's going on, he's like, rejoice in that. Because all of that I'm working out for my purposes, for my glory. There's meaning now. If you have cancer, if you have AIDS, if you have financial setbacks, if whatever, you fill in the blank. God says, I'm taking all of that and I'm working that for good. And the Holy Spirit will remind you that. And He'll do that when you go to Him in prayer. That's why prayer is so important. I'm not saying that Holy Spirit, He doesn't whisper or bring verses to you throughout the day. But you spend time with Him in prayer, and you listen to Him, and you listen to the Father bring scriptures to you. And maybe, day by day, you'll start finding out that only God is great. Let me close by saying this. The other day, I saw a neighbor a few blocks away with a pristine Better Homes and Garden house. Absolutely beautiful. He was washing his gutter in the street in the front of his house. Keeps his house beautiful. Keeps his yard perfect. As a matter of fact, even think he sneaks out at nighttime and measures each blade of grass. Everything is just perfect. And I wonder if that defines his life, that the things of his life have got to be perfect. And that very well could be. It could be a perfectionist. And all of his life, he could have everything in place in perfect order. And all without Christ. All without Christ. What if life was perfect and there was no Jesus? What a meaningless life. And the older I get, I see that. When you're a kid, you think, oh man, a bicycle or a new set of sneakers. Oh wow, that's something. And as you get older, you go up the chain, the motorcycles and cars and houses and boats and mansions and ERAs and IRAs and XYZs. And you think that there's some kind of meaning or purpose to all of that. There is no purpose in this world but Christ. That's the meaning of life. When I was a little kid, I was like, why am I here? Why were I born? What's the meaning of life? The meaning of life is Jesus Christ. Because only God is great. And He is the great God. Only a great God could come into humanity and die for His enemies. Only a great God could come and die on a cross for the sins of His people. Only a great God could think up a plan of salvation like that. The plan of salvation that the angels have, I understand that. You obey the Lord, you do right, you keep all His laws, you stay an angel. You rebel, you're cast out of heaven. We all understand that. We're all born lawyers. That was all Job's comforters. You must have hidden sin, dude, if the Lord's doing this. But only a great God could come up with a plan of salvation that says, I'm going to take all my enemies' wicked sins upon myself and give them all of my righteousness. Only a great guy comes up with a plan like that. A finite mind cannot comprehend that. I know the scripture says it, and I know that I believe it. But you're going to explain that to me, that a sinner that still sins today has the righteousness of God accounted to him? That when God looks at me, He looks at me as perfect? I don't comprehend that. I don't comprehend as holy as He is, as righteous as He is. I don't comprehend that. But maybe that's why Elihu told Job, only God is great. God is great. And who can know Him? And hopefully today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, each and every one of us will come to know Him in a greater way. But you cannot come to understand them at all until you follow the great God's words. Jesus Christ said, repent and believe. Repent the way you go and the way you think is right. Repent of that. Turn around. That's a military order. That word repent, it doesn't, you know, you heard people say, well, it means change your mind. It's a little bit more that. Repent means, like when I was in the military and I was walking this way, the staff sergeant screamed, about face! And you turn around and you go the opposite way. I didn't change my mind about it. It was like, I better do this and do it quick. That's what repent means. Repent of your sins. Throw down your weapons. Come to the great God that justifies sinners. And find peace for your soul today. And peace for your soul for all eternity. And Father, we ask your blessing upon us. And we thank you that though you are such a great God, that part of your greatness is the very fact that you reveal yourself. You were under no obligation to reveal yourself to anyone. After you told Adam and Eve, you eat that tree, you die. You didn't have to come to them any longer. No obligation, Father, to come to them. But yet, you're rich in mercy. And Father, once again, many would hear this word again today. That outside of Christ, spurning your mercy, I would pray today that you would grant salvation. That you would even grant salvation to those that are aboard that plane that's passing overhead right now. And Father, we pray for our loved ones. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our co-workers. We pray, Father, that you have mercy upon their souls. And we who are believers, Father, we pray for a greater love. First of all, for you. And a result of getting to know you more day by day, Father. We would love others in a greater way. Father, we would pray that that Spirit, that Holy Spirit that's been poured out, the love of God being poured out in our hearts, Father, would be what our life is about. That we would love the brethren. That we would love our families. That we would love our neighbors, love our enemies. But most of all, Father, that we would love you. That we would love Christ. That we would love the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that only God is great. And we thank you for giving us purpose and meaning in our lives, Father. We who chased after this world, the vanity of it all, the nothingness of it all, the vapor of it all, yet you came and gave us purpose. We thank you for that purpose, Father. And we pray that your purposes would be accomplished in our life, that your will would be done in our lives, and that there would be purpose and meaning. Even it says in Romans that we would prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of yours, Father. We ask you that that would be true in our lives. Perfect, good, and acceptable. And Father, may we remember as we're about to partake of the Lord's Supper that these things that we speak of are only possible because of this body of Christ that was given for us. That the blood that was shed of the new covenant for us, that we would remember that these things are only possible because of that body and that blood. That is what the great God in his justice demands, and in his righteousness and in his holiness, a payment, a covering, an atonement for sin. And Father, we thank you for the atonement. And may we remember. May we remember as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Your tender mercies. In that body and in that blood. And Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.